Kaczynski here with episode 52 of the TV and Lust video game podcast or TVandLust.net. Today we have Stephanie Lancaster.
What's up?
We also have Seth Castellum.
Hello, everybody.
That was a little too polite.
Nice to meet you.
Pleasure is all mine. So, I have this coworker. His name is Jim. We call him Big Jimmy Smooth. And Big Jimmy Smooth, he's an awesome guy. He's, like, super smart. He actually has, I don't know why he's, like, working in a data center, because he has, like his either a bachelor's or a master's in, like, political science or something like that. Like, I don't know. He's a smart dude. He has good taste in music. I like him. But I also like busting his balls, because he laughs. Like, he thinks it's hilarious. I'm like, he just doesn't get, like, I'm making fun of you, Jim. But he gives it right back, too, so it's all good. It's mutual.
Right.
But, he makes every night, as long as we're not busy, he makes a coffee run at 1 a.m. He goes to Dunkin' Donuts and he gets a coffee. It helps pass night to go out and get a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back the other night and he goes, "Diabetes mama's out working the street corner again." That's how he talks, by the way. I do the best gym impression. And I'm like, what the fuck is diabetes mom? He gives these nicknames, and he's supposed to know who the person is. And I'm like, Jim, what the fuck is diabetes mom? He's like,
wow.
I told you about diabetes mama. I'm like, no, diabetes mom has never come up in anywhere. So, diabetes mama is apparently this, I don't know if she's homeless or what, but she is, I guess, a panhandler. She's you know, a moocher. She hangs out around the intersection where this Dunkin' Donuts is, begging people for money as they come by.
Uh-huh.
And not just, like, holding up a sign, like, you know, like, God bless, I'm homeless or whatever. Like, she hunts down. And apparently this one time, like, he's at the intersection waiting at the red light to turn into Dunkin' Donuts. And she's coming at him, like, wagging her finger, like, 1 minute.
Oh, no.
and she's, like, rubbing her stomach because I guess she was hungry. Or uh-huh. Muffin top, as Jim put it. And like, he rolls down his window. He's like, "No, diabetes mom, I already gave you money." He's like, "No, diabetes mom." I'm like,
oh wow.
He's seen out of, like, Seinfeld or, like, Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm like, how do you know she has diabetes? And he's like, "She told me." Like, I guess he had this conversation with her and he gave her money before, but, like, now he wants nothing to do with diabetes mom. So that's the story of Big Jimmy Smooth and Diabetes Mama. I had to share that.
But, now nobody else could say anything because that's, like, untoppable. So
right.
Well, it wasn't a week of all smiles. I had to put down one of my cats.
Which, yeah, that's so. How old was your cat?
Between 16 and 18.
Wow.
Yeah, she was old and. She
caught between two dimensions of time.
Right.
Something, I don't know. She had, the vet said she had, like, retinal detachment. That's why she couldn't see. She can't hear.
Wow.
She had no teeth. She had no teeth, but she wouldn't eat moist food. She would only eat hard. She would choke down hard food. That's all she would eat. So, of course, I had to clean up puke, like, every other day because she couldn't keep it down.
Right.
She couldn't control her bodily functions. Like, I mean, she had rapidly lost muscle mass. Like, she was, like, this scrawny. She looked like an alley cat, even though she was well cared for and well fed.
Mm-hmm.
She was wasting away, really. And it's, like, it sucks because, like, cats really aren't, unless you, like, light a cat on fire, they're not going to let you know they're in pain. Like, they're not going to do anything. So it's sort of hard to make that decision to put her down, like, even though it probably was for the best. It's, like, it's hard to make that call because she seems okay. But you know she's not, and it sucks. It's like, I just feel like, I don't know. The problem is she would have suffered more before she died of old age. I mean, she was already super old. She wasn't going anywhere. She was hanging on for some reason. And
wow.
I don't know. It sucks. Like, I was never really, I never really kept pets as, like, a kid. Like, my parents would bring a pet home, like, "Yay, we have a dog!" And then, like, they would get sick of caring for the dog, so then they would just give it away. So,
right.
Like, that was my childhood, was, like, these, you know, these psych-outs. Like, "We got a dog, psych!" And so I've never had, like, I mean, I've had my hedgehogs die, and of course that was upsetting. But, and not that I want to place pets on different tiers, but there's something different about, like, a cat or a dog, because they're sort of, like, companion pets. They're a little bit different, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I've never had a cat die. So that was, that was a new experience for me at age 27.
Did you cry?
Not when we put her down, but, like, the other day, like, she hung out in the game room. Like, that's the thing. Like, she didn't even go anywhere. She couldn't move.
Mm-hmm.
And so she hung out in the game room, and that's where my ferret's cage is. So my routine every day is to get up and clean up all her, everything she left all over the floor, feed her and feed the ferret. And the other day, there was nothing to clean up, and I could only feed the ferret.
Yeah, that's going to be weird.
And that was, and her bowl's still there, and, like, her food's still, like, that's just, then yes, I did cry, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. I would have cried.
Yeah.
It was, that's when it hit me that, you know, my cat was gone. So.
Man.
Sucks.
Oh, I'm sorry, Craig.
Yeah.
Maybe you could, I'm sure some talking about video games will help you ease,
well, it may take my mind off.
Ease the pain.
So that was my week. How about you guys? What did you guys do?
Steph, you went to like Florida or something, right?
Yeah, I did. I went. That was last.
That was like it? 2 weeks ago. That doesn't count.
Yeah.
Get on the podcast.
I know. No, it was awesome.
Come on.
I had a blast. It was really fun. We had a rough start, though. Our flight was delayed like 4 hours.
Oh,
shit. Yeah, and then they lost our luggage, and we didn't get it back until the next day.
Oh, come on.
But after that, we had a good time. It was really cool. Like, we went to Island of Adventure, and we went to SeaWorld, which was actually pretty cool. Like, I wasn't expecting SeaWorld to be awesome, but it was. And we did an airboat tour, which is basically, like, for some reason, like, Americans think it's cool to go out and risk their life. So they have all these...
You That's know, how this great country was founded, Stan.
I know, right? I mean, they have all of these airboat tours, and it's basically where you get on, like, an airboat, and you go looking for alligators. I mean, who does that? I mean, I actually did. I know. I did. But, like, it was just so, you know, we were looking through one of the books, and my husband was like, oh, okay, let's go do that. So we did it, and I was scared. And afterwards, we actually got to, like, hold an alligator. His name was Bowser, which was pretty cool. I was like, oh, that's awesome. So, yeah. It was fun. It was a really good time. But I was glad that we came home. You know, I kind of missed home a little bit, you know? So it's been cool.
Did you eat any alligator?
No. Just held it. That's it. And the only reason why we did that. What's that?
If I was holding one, I'd be like, oh, man, where could I eat one of these things?
Right.
Now, that's the American way. You find a fucking animal and you see if it tastes good.
Right?
I know, yeah. It was crazy. It was a weird experience. Like, I never thought in my life, because I'm not that type of risk taker. Like, when it comes to money, I'll take risks. But, like, when it comes to my life, like, I don't know. And we actually saw, like, in the creek, because it was this creek that they did the tour on, and we get out in the middle of, like, nowhere, and the guy turns off the engine to the motorboat, and he was like, yeah, this here is where, you know, usually crocs hang out or alligators hang out or whatever, and we're like, whatever, and he, you know, like, gets off of his little seat, and he goes to the front of the boat, and he moves, like, some of the leaves or vegetation or whatever that was there, and he was like, you see that there? There goes a gator, and, you know, and I'm like, whatever, I can't see it, and then he moved it back, like the trees back or the plants back some more, and then you heard like this huge hiss, and I was just so scared, and then all of a sudden like its head came up. Yeah, and I was like, let's get the hell out of here ASAP. Like, I am not trying to get eaten by a gator. That's just crazy.
Whatever. It was animatronic. Did he pull out like his pop gun next and be like, pow, pow?
Right. Yeah. No, that was it. I mean, it was a mom. He was like, yeah, it's a mom and she's protecting her eggs.
Okay.
No, the gator. And it's just protecting the eggs of whatever the hell it was. I don't know. I didn't see any eggs. All I saw was a head, and I was scared shitless. So I will never get on that airboat ride again. It was crazy.
I'm sure it was perfectly. Did you have to sign a waiver?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, okay. Well, then, good luck.
And then I kept looking to see if anyone there that was working there had all of their fingers, because, like, I was just really scared. Yeah, but they had them all, so... It's been cool. The summer's gone by so fast, though. I can't believe, like, summer's almost over. Want to do it all over again.
I can't even tell. I've just, like, been working through it, so I don't even know.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, summer, what's that?
Right?
It doesn't really mean anything to me anymore. So I have a question. When you lose your luggage, what do you do? Because that terrifies me. Like, I don't want to be somewhere and, like, not have my shit.
Okay, so what we had to do, well, it was so crazy because my son was the only one that got his luggage. And I'm like, you know, we're standing there for 15 minutes and it never came around. So you have to go into, I don't know, baggage claim. There's an office there. And they were like, oh, okay, well, here's our number and leave your address. And when we get it, we'll bring it to you. And I wasn't comfortable with that just because, I mean, you know, it's clothes, okay, whatever. But I just, you know, you're in a different place and you want to be able to change your clothes, you know what I'm saying? What? Like take a shower and stuff. But yeah, I just kept calling the little hotline, checking on the status of my baggage. And finally, like Sunday morning, because we left on Saturday. So Sunday morning, I actually got in contact with someone. It wasn't an automated little message thing. And I asked the dude, like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, yeah, it's on its way. And this was like at 7 o'clock in the morning and it didn't show up until 7 that evening. So it took a while, but I got my stuff. And then they said, this is what really had me nervous. They were like, we're not responsible basically, for your luggage if we can't find it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm in Florida. How am I going to, there's no way I'm coming down to like the most expensive part. You know what I'm saying? And, right. And buying a whole new wardrobe. Like
what a weird like business practice. Like
yeah.
You pay us hundreds of dollars,
yeah.
And we'll move your stuff. But if we don't move your stuff, it's not our fault. Like, what the fuck kind of racket is this?
And then it really pissed me off because, you know, we left out of, like, Dulles International and, or we got on Delta. I think it was Delta we were on. And they have that baggage, you have to pay the baggage fee of $100, right? Well, it ended up being $75 because it's $25 for each bag that you put on, you know? So I'm like, okay, well, can you waive that $75?
Right.
And they're like, no.
That's
what are you talking
bullshit.
About? You lost my luggage. Give me my money back.
Yeah, you have to pay like, them to lose your luggage. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's who I'm flying with is Delta.
And yeah.
They you're playing up, but mine keeps changing. Like, every 2 weeks, I get an email saying, like, oh, your itinerary's changed. Like, fuck you, Delta.
I will never get on. I'll never go through them again. They really do suck. Because, I mean, they told us, they said, hey, when we got there, they were like, your flight's going to be delayed 30 minutes because something's wrong with the AC and we're checking on the AC. And 4 hours later, we're getting on a totally different plane and our luggage got lost. So I'm like,
yeah,
never
figure.
Again.
Yeah, they bumped up my flight by 2 hours. As of right now, that could change, like, who knows right now.
Right.
But that means, like, my layover in Detroit is 3 hours, and I'm just like, what am I going to do in Detroit for 3 hours?
Yeah.
Because Detroit Airport's actually really nice.
Uh-huh.
I can't really speak much for the rest of the city, but
right.
The airport's really nice. And last time, you know, we flew through there as well, and it was only like, I don't know, it was only like a half an hour. Actually, that was really bad, because like, some of the people we were with, like, were like smokers, they went out smoking, like, we're like boarding, like, your nicotine cravings can wait while we get on a plane for
right.
Like the other side of the world. Let's do this. But like,
no, they have to smoke like a whole pack. You said it's how many hours on the plane?
It's like 13. It sucks.
Yeah.
It
sucks. That's like the whole 16 cigarette pack. So.
Not looking forward to flying.
Mm.
What about you, Seth? What have you been up to?
I don't know. I saw a movie. Something?
What'd you see?
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
And what'd you think of that?
I liked it.
Yeah, me too.
It was awesome.
What
I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here. I wasn't expecting much out of it, but
it was good.
That's what you
There's
do. You hit him with low expectations.
Right? There's something about that main character, the guy from Spider-Man.
James Franco.
He's just creepy. I don't know what
Why is he creepy?
Huh?
Why is he creepy?
I don't know. Like, it looks like he really gets into his roles. Like, I just felt like he really had an ape. And, like...
I felt like he really had an ape and he cared for this.
Right.
He's come a long way, but, like, I still see him as, like, the stoner from Freaks and Geeks.
Right. Yeah.
He's done really well, and I think he's a fine actor, but, like, I still see him as a stoner.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, every movie I see him in, I'm like, oh, is he stoned? I don't know.
Right. Yeah, his eyes, right? It's crazy.
Yeah. One of the facial expressions he makes, I don't know. He just...
And, like, Pineapple Express, like, really didn't help either, so...
I guess not. So in my mind, he got stoned and he took a monkey home, and then he's like, oh, this would be a good idea. Hey, monkey, you hungry?
Right?
Now, that movie, it was a lot better than I was expecting, so. Are they going to, like, reboot the franchise? Are they going to start, like, new movies with this at this point, or
I don't know. Like, there's somewhere to go, because, like, the monkeys are like, yeah, we'll just live in this forest. Like, no, that's not really Planet of the Apes. That's, like, the national forest of, like, the apes. Like, that's not the same thing. That's, like, a picnic spot of the apes.
But there's that thing that's happening that's spoilery.
Yeah.
There's that.
Yeah.
Also, like, in the old movies, all the apes spoke with British accents, right? Like, when did that happen?
I think that was supposed to be, like, they were supposed to sound educated. Like, British people sound smarter than us. I don't know.
Right.
And then, like, at the end, but then it turns out, like, they're in New York and stuff. So, like, how'd that go? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know either. That was weird. I'm not going to, like, work out. There was actually, like, a whole film, like, series. I didn't realize there was, like, a whole mess of them. Yeah, this whole, like, mythos. And I'm like, wow, this is... stupid.
Mm-hmm. I only ever saw the original, and then I saw the Tim Burton remake.
Yes, I saw that one.
I didn't see the Tim Burton one. I saw the original, but that's it. And I'm like, damn, there's like seven of them or some shit. There's a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm. People really love their damn monkeys, dude.
I guess so. And I guess the Planet of the Apes was created by, like, a time paradox, like in the original series of films. Some monkey went back in time from the Planet of the Apes. Like, I don't know.
I thought that was the Tim Burton movie.
I think, isn't it? I haven't seen the Tim Burton movie, but if that's the case, then the Tim Burton movie takes cues from the original film series.
Ah, okay. Because, I mean, Tim Burton movie has its own little twist ending at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Tim Burton. All right. Well, I guess if that's
all video games?
We can talk about video games, yeah. We can talk about some video game news here. And we have a bunch of news, especially with Gamescom, because... I was blown away by the amount of stuff that came out of Gamescom. Like, last year, I'm like, Gamescom.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Germany that you think you can step to this, but this year they stepped to this.
Last year, you just made Fran write an article or something. Yeah. Run, Fran, to Gamescom.
Fran took it upon herself. Fran took the initiative. She wrote it. I said nothing. But this year, a lot of shit came out. But anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. We're going to start out some other news from the week. Max and the Magic Marker is coming out for the DS as, like, a retail game. It's been out on WiiWare. It's on iOS. It's on Steam. DS is getting its own version this holiday season, and the DS just keeps cranking shit out.
I know, right? Wow, it's crazy to even think that they're still putting stuff out. I thought they were honestly done, or they would be done next month when, like, what is it that comes out? The Kirby game and Dragon Quest? Mm-hmm. Is it Dragon Quest?
Well, we got...
Yeah, next month, right?
Well, they got Fortune Street coming out.
What is it?
Fortune Street, that Monopoly game? I don't think...
Dragon Quest Monsters.
Too. Oh, well, yeah, that's for... Yeah, okay. I'm thinking, yeah. Because Fortune Street's for, like, the Wii.
Yeah, I really want to play that. Like, that looks really cool. I thought they were done with, like, DS stuff after next month, like with that Kirby game and the Dragon Quest Monster, or yeah, Monsters Joker something.
Yeah,
too,
Joker
right?
too. Dragon Quest Monsters Joker too. There's too many. I don't know. It doesn't even seem that complicated when you look at it on paper, but when you try and say it, it's just too many. Like,
there's like five colons in that game title.
I know.
Yeah,
but that's cool to see that they're still supporting it. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Too bad they're not supporting the fucking Wii.
Yeah.
How long did the GBA support last?
I don't know.
After the DS came out.
I don't remember. I don't remember too many big things coming out, though, after the DS did.
Yeah, they had a lot of Disney Channel stuff coming. Because I remember I was still buying stuff for my son. On
it's Corey.
Right, yeah.
I remember WarioWare Twisted came out after the DS came out.
Oh, no kidding.
That was late. Yeah.
You're right. A few things in there, I guess. That's So Raven 3 or something. But that's pretty good news. I'm glad there's stuff coming out. I forgot about Dragon Quest Monster. I just got an email from Nintendo. That's really cool that Nintendo is publishing it.
I know.
They're like taking on all the Dragon Quest stuff.
Yeah, now they are. So now give us fucking Xenoblade. I'm going to import that. I'm sick of waiting.
You know what? I think I'm going to do the same. But I don't know if I don't know which route to go. If I should maybe buy another US Wii and mod my old one, or if I should just get a PAL version Wii. I don't know.
Just mod the one you have.
It's really? So easy.
It's
safe.
Even easier
Are
now.
You sure? I'm like so not good at stuff like that.
No, Joystick just put up an article about how to do it. It's even easier than it ever was before. Because before you used to have like a particular game and you'd have to exploit that game. Now this just exploits the messaging system on the Wii. So you just, you put this application on an SD card. Does your computer have an SD card reader?
What's that?
Well, you know what an SD card is, right?
On your Mac, right? Where you put your SD card. That's, I didn't know that's the name of it.
Okay,
SD card reader.
Your Mac has an SD
card
reader? So your Mac has one of those, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You just, basically, that's all you need then, is an SD card and an SD card reader, and you put this application on the SD card, and then you pop it in, and then, you need the MAC address for your Wii for this exploit to work. And the joystick article tells you where to find the MAC address for your Wii. It's very easy. You punch that into a website. It puts that, downloads this application. You put it on the SD card. You pop it in, and then you open up the messages, and there'll be a message with, there'll be an envelope with a bomb in it. You click on the bomb. And then you just, you have to install... the homebrew channel, and I think another application or something like that. I mean, it sounds complicated, but it's so easy. It's so easy. Just go to Joystick and look for that article.
No, that sounds easier than what I thought you had to do. Because I said it on Twitter, and people were like, "No, it's not safe." And I'm like, "Really?
Nah, it's safe."
There's
also the there's ones that are based on certain there's Twilight Hack and there's Smash Stack. The Smash Brothers one is super easy too because that exploits the custom levels. Of the game. Basically, you have to go in there, remove all custom levels from that have been downloaded to your Wii.
Uh-huh.
And then when those are gone, you load the file onto the SD card, and then you put Smash Brothers in, and then you load up the custom stages part, and then you load that file, and it runs through there. Something to do, I think, with a buffer overflow or something like that, but I don't know the technical aspects, but it just exploits how the game reads those files.
Uh-huh.
And that works with any version, and I mean, that's pretty simple, too. So it's really not that hard.
Oh, well, then, I'll go ahead and import it then.
And I've had mine, I've had the homebrew channel on mine since, Tatsunoko vs. Capcom came out in Japan. So, I mean, I've had no problems with my Wii or anything.
Nice. Thanks for telling me. Now I'm all excited. Get my little UK contact and be like, hey.
Yeah, I'm watching eBay auctions right now to get Xenoblade.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
So do you think it's going to come over, guy? What do you think?
There's a chance.
Yeah.
But I think it's a very slim chance.
Yeah, me too. That's why I would start thinking about it this morning.
Honestly, on Amazon, if you can get it, someone, you can get, Fran or, someone else in the UK. Mm-hmm. Right now on Amazon.co.uk, it's $50. Mm-hmm. It's £30.
Oh, wow, okay.
So, I mean, obviously you'd have to pay for shipping from UK to here, and if you want to grease the hands of the person who's doing it, whatever. So you're going to be paying a little bit extra, but not much extra, so.
Yeah.
So in the end, even if you import it, you pay a little bit extra, but you get it. You have the security knowing that, you have the game.
Yeah, yeah. I really want to play it. I'm pissed that it's not over here. But you know what? I got to take matters into my own hands. Nintendo of America.
And, and then none of my European friends are saying this, but you get these people, on forums or, YouTube videos are now you know how we feel Americans. And it's so what Nintendo game did you not get?
Right.
Because actually, you have more than us, last I checked, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
Whatever, yeah, you're right.
So why would you want to make us suffer like you did anyway, like in the past? Like, it's really not the case. The Europeans have it way better than they did.
Yeah.
I don't know, they're just cranky about what happened in the past, if you ask
me. They got Doshin the Giant on GameCube, damn it.
They did. They got Last Window, they got another code R, they got Disaster. Yeah. Like, Nintendo's actually probably put out more games over there. And once in a while, you get something late. Boo hoo hoo! Stop having so many languages.
Now they're still bitter from like what Super Nintendo era.
Yeah, I want to throw no Europeans under the bus, but it's time to move on. You guys got it so much better now. Maybe not as good as us sometimes, but sometimes you guys get some sweet deals.
They sure do.
And they get Skyward Sword 2 days before us.
That's right.
That's weird. Sometimes they've been getting games before us. Like, there's, like, these weird games that, like, I think Duke Nukem they got before us. Like, there's... Every once in a while, like, they get games a few days before us. I don't... But it's fine by me. Like, I'm not jelly. I'm just...
Right.
I just want things to be equal, that's all.
Yeah.
In this case, it's just Nintendo of America being little bitches. That's the problem.
I know.
I'm mad at Nintendo of America. I'm not mad that our European friends are playing a great game. Good for them. I think that's great.
Right.
My anger is with Nintendo America.
Yeah, me too. I'm mad that they won't take my money.
I'm willing
to give you my money for a game and you don't want it. What's up with that?
I don't know.
I'm really glad NOE's stepping up, though.
Yeah, for real.
And that we both share the same language. So
right.
I'm happy for both those things.
That works. With more news here, we have the Team Eco Collection. We got some bonuses in here. Mm-hmm. We get an extra disc with a dynamic theme that's based on the two games, and some other stuff here. We get some early concept and prototype video footage for Eco, as well as Shadow of the Colossus. An initial concept video for Nico, a game that was never made but was turned into Shadow of the Colossus.
Mm-hmm.
20-minute roundtable discussion. A 12-minute behind-the-scenes video filmed on location at the SCEI offices in Japan. So,
nice.
Pretty good stuff. So, of course, everything is in high def, full 1080p, 7.1 surround sound. You get 3D support and trophies. So, that's some pretty good stuff on the Team Eco collection there.
Yeah,
I'm so buying this thing.
I know.
And if they just make Shadow of the Colossus control better. I think we'll...
Oh, my God. I'm not even going to get into it, dude.
Yeah, because you're wrong. I wouldn't get into it if I were you either.
You didn't like the controls?
No, they were bad. They were bad controls. And everyone's really? Like, oh, my God, I totally jerk off the Shadow of the Colossus, so I have to totally give it a pass. But, like, if that was any other game, everyone would be pissed off about those
controls.
Nope.
They were bad controls.
Incorrect. They fit the game perfectly.
No, they don't. What do you mean fit the game perfectly? You mean by not working?
I kind of see what you're saying, Seth. They kind of do. But I will agree, Craig, they weren't the best controls.
They feel unresponsive, like the guy just doesn't want to listen to you.
No, they make you feel like you're climbing a fucking colossus.
No, I think they were bad. I kind of
looked past them, though, because I really did enjoy the game, I don't think they were bad, but they were a little wonky. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of looked past that because I really did enjoy the game. Sorry, Seth. But they're not that bad, you know?
They prohibited me from enjoying the game, I think. I can't get lost in a game if, like, the game doesn't... If the connection between me and the game is not solid.
Yeah.
That's hard. That's hard for me to do.
I hear you.
Nintendo of America has announced more Nintendo Selects. So, they don't want to give you new games. They just want to give you old games that you probably already own cheaper, I guess.
Or, you know, they might be trying to sell them to new customers.
Well, I guess there's that, too. But,
what are the games, Craig?
I'm getting there. Super Paper Mario, Mario Strikers Charge, Punch-Out! ! And Super Mario Galaxy. And I guess, Super Mario Galaxy. Yeah. I wonder why... I don't know. Well, I wonder why, like, new Super Mario Brothers isn't in this. Like, that would make more sense than Super Mario Galaxy, I think.
Because that game's probably still making them money.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But...
They know what they're doing.
No, they don't. I don't buy it.
All right, well.
Maybe if they knew what they were doing, they'd
not when it comes to localizing games. Yeah, I guess.
Maybe I'll try out Punch Out at this price. I never picked that up.
You haven't played Punch Out?
Punch Out is fun. It's really good. I think I'm gonna go for Mario Strikers because I can't seem to find that game anywhere.
You haven't played Mario Strikers?
No, not. I played the one on the GameCube. I don't know if it's the same game, but.
It's a different game.
It's hard. Like, first of all, like when you play multiplayer, everything ends in a stalemate. You're gonna be sitting there for like 5 hours.
Really?
And then when you play single player, you play like the first like cup or whatever, and you're like, hey, this ain't so bad. I got the hang of this. And then you play the next cup, and then it's like brutally difficult.
It's hard. Yeah.
I can't beat the last cup in the game. I still haven't beaten the last cup.
It's so the difficulty ramps up like out of nowhere, and you're like, fuck, I can't play this.
You have to get really crazy with your deeks and your. Special shots. I don't know.
Yeah, you really do.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just over my head, but I can't do it. But I might re-pick up Super Paper Mario at this price. Because mm-hmm. I bought that game when it first came out. I'm like, this is the most boring game with Mario ever in it. I would rather play Mario's Time Machine than this. Like, there's nothing in this game. Like, it's supposed to be a platformer, but there's no platforming. It's supposed to be, like, part RPG, but there's no real role-playing. Basically, mm-hmm. you just walk forward and then watch, like, 20-minute cutscenes. Like, mm-hmm. it's Final Fantasy 13 with Mario in it. That's what this is.
There's some good stuff in there somewhere. Like, I like the game, but I can't defend it because, like, it's could easily be boring if you're not, like, into the reading 5 pages of dialogue every 20 minutes. Right.
And to be fair, the dialogue is well written. I'll give it that.
I like, and there's a lot of like in joke, like in Nintendo, in Mario jokes, I guess, like referencing a wide breadth of Mario lore.
I wanted to like the game. Like, I don't buy when I complain about a game. I don't complain about a game because I want to complain about. I want to like. If I could, I would like every game out there. But I wanted to like this game. But I just there came a certain point. I'm like, what am I doing? What is going on here? What is the point of all this?
There were enough moments in it that I liked that I could keep playing, but overall, it's not a very great game.
But for $20, I may be willing to give another shot. That's, you know, I'll give it a go. I don't want the red cover, though, so maybe this means that, like, GameStop used prices will come down on it. Right!
I hate, like, greatest hits, whatever packaging.
I don't like them either. I will buy them if that's what it comes down. Like, if it's between me getting a cheap game that has a little red on the cover and, like, I don't know, paying more because it's black.
But they're getting, like, the boxes or cases or whatever, getting, like, worse every generation. Like, Super Nintendo, like, there was, like, a little thing in the corner.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, like...
Well, it had, like, a ribbon on it is what it was. It had, like, a metal.
And then N64, they, like, changed, like, the color of the red side panel on the thing and put, like, another little ribbon on it. And then GameCube, they had, like, a yellow banner.
Yeah.
And then... And now on Wii, it's just, like, the entire case is, like, red.
Have you seen what they've done with DS games? Like, the case, the actual plastic is red. For games with Mario in them.
I did not see
No
that.
Way, are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. Like, I thought it coincided with a price drop, but they're the same price and everything. But, like, Mario Kart, like, Mario and Luigi, like, all those games, like, they're red cases now. You go into GameStop, you'll see these red cases. I saw them at Target. They're out and about.
I know.
That's weird.
Yeah, that is very weird. I don't know why they did that, but they did. Anyway, these games are now $20 or £20, so... I would assume, I don't really have the information on that, but I would assume 20 euros as well, so.
20 all around.
Yeah, it's 20. It's a nice even number there. So Sony, at Gamescom, they dropped the price of the PS3. It is now $250 for 160 gigs, which is a really good value, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, on it, well, here's the thing, it's a great value, but, like, I kind of wonder, like, is anyone really going to rush out and, like, get this now? I mean,
price dropped?
Yeah. I'm curious. Like, is there anyone out there? Like, I don't know. Because I feel so out of touch sometimes, but, like, I look at this and I go, $250 for 160. Like, is this really going to, like, attract a wider audience now?
I honestly thought it's, like, been $250. So that's how, like, out of the loop I am.
Mm.
Yeah, no, it's been three, right? Three.
It's been three forever now. Because, I mean, I bought mine when it dropped to 300.
Yeah.
That was a while ago.
So, I mean, it's great. I'm not trying to dress this as a bad thing. Obviously, a price drop is a good thing.
No, obviously, yeah.
But I'm curious as to how much it will actually do for them. I mean, $200 is that sweet spot. I mean, obviously, they're not Nintendo with a 3DS, so they can't just drop it to from $300 to $200. But I think $200 is a sweet spot. That'll probably attract a few more users. Mm-hmm. But $250, that's sort of like, I don't know. You know, I still think that's indecision territory for some people. So, but the 320 gig model, that's $300. So that's pretty good. And there's a limited Infamous 2 bundle. And that comes with the 320 gig model, and it also comes with Infamous 2 and a 30-day trial of PlayStation Plus. So that's basically get Infamous 2 for free.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So that's pretty good. I think that's a pretty good value. So that's what you get there. They also announced a cheaper PSP model called the E1000.
Mm-hmm.
And this currently it's only for Europe, and it's going to retail for 100 euros. And it has a black hat finish.
Play games over the internet.
Yeah, they removed Wi-Fi from this, which I don't know. I mean, if the PSP uses Wi-Fi, like the same protocols to play like local multiplayer, like you're not playing any multiplayer with this thing,
right? That's what I was thinking.
and you know what? We had some comments on the Facebook page. Mm-hmm. People said they were interested in it, but too bad it's only for Europe. They said they're interested. So obviously, like there are people that there's some buzz about this. So that's cool. But like I was just thinking like man, like Sony really doesn't know what they're doing with the PSP though. Like I feel like
I don't think they do.
I really
don't think they do.
I mean, I wrote that editorial on it, and mm-hmm. I just because I saw this and like it frustrated me because it's like one minute they come out with the PSP going like this signifies our commitment to digital distribution, and then when that flopped, they come out and they removed the key component for digital distribution.
Obviously, they were like, well, that didn't work. Let's try the exact opposite, Bob. All
right, right. And I'm like, what are they doing? And you can, to be fair, you can still connect to the PlayStation Store. You can do it through your PS3.
Right.
If you have a PS3, you can use an application called Media Go. But that just makes it more complicated to like update your firmware to download games. I don't know. Some people are not going to care, and they're going to think it's a good value. That's great. But to me, like, it's just indicative of a company that put out a product and thought that, like, the fact that you could play console-like games on the go would sell itself, and then they just stood back and watched it drown.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know what to do with it. They got these commercials with these squirrels or, like, Marcus. They got those slightly racist ads in Europe. I don't know what they were thinking.
I mean, but to be fair, though, I mean, I will say, I know this is coming out in Europe, and I'm a little upset about that, because I really like the way this looks. Like,
yeah.
I think it looks really good. But, you know, maybe they're thinking, okay, at this point in the game, I guess none of that really matters. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they're just trying to get their quick fix, get that out there, so that, I don't know, maybe more games could be sold. I don't know, because the Vita's right around the corner.
Right.
Maybe they just not care. You know, at this point, they're like, whatever.
Right, and they look like they've learned a lot of lessons with the Vita. I mean, I'll give them, I'm really excited for the Vita. I think they're putting a really good foot forward with the Vita. But with the PSP, here's the thing, though. I think that if they really wanted to just throw the PSP out there, they should have never released the Go.
Right.
They shouldn't have released this E1000. Because let me tell you something, right? They're releasing this saying it's a value PSP because they removed Wi-Fi and they're charging you less money for it. But here's what you should have done. You should have had all the fucking meetings, all the overtime work, all the fucking PowerPoints, and all the drafts, and then new assembly lines for this PSP. Save all the money, because I guarantee you they probably spent like millions of dollars to come up with this fucking PSP that doesn't have Wi-Fi in it.
Yeah.
And just drop the price of the 3000, made that $100. Put a 1 gig stick in there and the charger and just said it's $100 now.
Sure.
That's what they should have done. Instead, they're wasting their time spending all this money on new models to make money, and it doesn't make sense to me because it's not the model that people were worried about. Number one, it was the price,
mm-hmm.
and number two is the perception that the PSP doesn't have any games.
Mm-hmm.
So what they should have done is just drop the price of the 3000 and then just started blanketing like advertising, like print, internet, TV commercials, no squirrels, no Marcus, no Kevin Butler, none of this. It only does everything, which sounds really smug, and it's going to turn certain people off, because it only does everything really only sort of preaches to the choir, like, fuck yeah, it does everything, fuck yeah, I love Sony. That doesn't appeal to everyone.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. So what they should have done is just have this commercial where with non-threatening music. None of this hard rock shit they had some of the with the PS3 ads early on. Non-threatening music showing a montage of games, all kinds of games. Show some of the hardcore stuff, SOCOM, Metal Gear Solid, you know, God of War, whatever. Some of your in-between games like Mod Nation Racers and Little Big Planet. Show some of the kids' games like the Lego games and Invisimals. And then show you Square and XE games. Show you got the fucking RPGs on there. And then for the people that think that like it's only a portable console, put Luminous and Half Minute Hero in this montage. And then at the end, just show the PSP, put $99 underneath it, and then some really shitty, like, generics, like, welcome to PSP or something, really shitty slogan at the bottom, and that would have worked. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, that would something like that would have worked.
No, so,
yeah, we'll release a new mod.
I know, right?
What'd you say?
I said you're hired.
Right. I'm not Marcus, so that's not gonna be. Like, the problem is, like, a lot of their ads want to communicate this faux edginess. Like, this edginess that's designed by a bunch of suits in a boardroom, and it just comes across as so fake to me. Like, I see Marcus, and I'm like, oh, God. And, like, Kevin Butler, I'll admit, the first couple of commercials, entertaining guy. Kind of like that. Mm-hmm. 77 commercials later, I'm like, what are they doing? This is, get this guy out of here.
I would have been cool, though, if they stripped away... I would have been cool with the fact that they stripped away all of the media crap that I don't use. See, that would have been cool to me. Mm. You know what I'm saying? If they took away, I don't know, connecting to whatever so you can listen to music, the media play... You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care about that. If they just had a straight game, PSP, that's all it does is play games and focused on that. That'll be awesome. I think they kind of lost their market, though, because I feel like when they first came out, they were, I guess, appealing to the older crowd.
I think that's what they're trying compared to do, They're trying to say that, show that this was a sophisticated platform. Now, that's actually initially what turned me off, because I don't care about the multimedia. The truth is, the PSP's multimedia functions, they work, but they're kind of mediocre all in all, to be perfectly honest.
See, I wouldn't even know, because I'm not interested in that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and
it's all proprietary. Whether you're using a UMD or a Memory Stick Pro Duo, like, it's proprietary media. Like, you can't... Not a fan.
Yeah.
So, I've never really used that stuff. And that turned me off because they were focusing so heavily on that. Mm-hmm. Focusing so heavily on the media applications. And then, like, their shooters and, like, their racers and stuff. And I'm like, this seems kind of boring to me.
Yeah.
And so, I can't blame anyone for thinking that, like, the PSP really doesn't offer much. But it really does.
Yeah.
And that's where my frustration comes from. So, it's a great system. And I just think Sony's handled it really poorly.
Here's to the Vita. Hopefully, they get it right.
Speaking of the Vita... Sony showed off some new games. We got some Resistance Burning Skies coming to the Vita. Resistance franchise seems moderately popular. It's not really, I guess, for me. I don't hate it, but it doesn't get me excited. We also got the Escape Plan, where you control, it's a side scroller where you control two different characters, to get through traps.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that one seemed pretty cool. And you can manipulate objects with the touchscreen or the back panel, so that's really cool. And Ubisoft has Assassin's Creed and FIFA, so... But, again, I mean, that's the thing. Like, here we have, like, oh, you got Resistance, you got FIFA, you got Assassin's Creed, and, like, those are... Like, again, like, I sort of feel like that's a repeat of, like, the PSP. Obviously, these are very appealing franchises. I completely understand that. Mm-hmm. But then, like, oh, by the way, we got Escape Plan. I'm like, wow, cool, what's Escape Plan? Who gives a fuck? Here's FIFA!
Right.
You know? And but, to be fair, the Vita does have some of these really cool games. Like, what's the other one? Like, Sound Shapes, I think it's called?
Yeah, that looks awesome.
That looks awesome, too. So, it's those sort of games that are really going to get my attention. Not the Assassin's Creed or the FIFA. That's not really going to do it for me. More Escape Plan, more Sound Shapes, more Little Deviants.
Right.
I want to see more of that.
Do you think with the console-like games, they're trying to appeal to a crowd that's not even there?
I do sort of feel like that. I do, because there are going to be people that are going to look at this and go, why don't I play this on my PS3?
Yeah.
I already have a PS3, and I probably paid less for it than I'm paying for the Vita.
Right.
So, I do sort of feel like that. I mean, there is, you know what, I'm not always a big fan of console games on the go, but to be fair, like, I do think there's value in that. I do think there's value in being able to play something like Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep while I'm watching TV. Like, that's pretty cool. Normally, I would have to do one or the other, but now I get to play a console quality game. on a handheld and do something else at the same time. That's really awesome. That's not something I want to do all the time. That's not a selling point for me. It's just a point, and it's a good point. But
right.
You know, they gotta tout up more escape plan, more sound shapes. They gotta really drive the point home that we do have these games in addition to the big name games.
Well, I would love to see them do something, like, for instance, with the Uncharted game that's coming out for the Vita, and even Assassin's Creed. I mean, like you said, these are console-like games on the go, but it would be awesome if they took these games for the Vita and maybe had some type of way that you could connect.
I'm sure they're thinking, I would even pay for that, like the Game Boy Player. Like, let's say I'm on the PlayStation Store on my PS3, and for, let's say, $10, $20, I download a Connection Bridge application that allows me to play my games on my TV through my PS3.
Exactly.
I would buy that application.
See, because then you're not buying two games. Like, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I'll probably get Assassin's Creed on the Vita because I really like Assassin's Creed, but I'm not going to get it on the PlayStation 3. Like, I'm going to be buying it twice. I'm going to get it on the Xbox 360, going to get it on the Vita, whatever. But it would be awesome if I could just get it on the Vita and connect it to my PlayStation 3 and have some way of playing it like that. You know what I'm saying? That's saving me money.
I think that's, I mean, I find value in an application like that, so I would pay for it.
That would be awesome.
But,
Sony announced all their games where you could, like, start on the PS or on the Vita and then transfer to the PS3. I wonder how they're going to, like, handle selling those games, because people aren't going to want to buy two copies of games for everything.
Right, because I remember they did say that, right? That they were going to have some way to continue. Saving. Yeah, but who wants to buy a version of the PS3 Assassin's Creed and then buy it for the Vita, too? That's just
Not crazy. Right, no, and I completely agree. Because, like, I like the idea to be able to play on the go, because there's just so many times where I'm playing a game at home, like, fuck, I would like to play this, you know, on my break at work or whatever.
Right.
I like to pick up. It's a fantastic idea. I love it. But I'm not going to buy two copies of a game to do that. So I would much rather have, like, an application that I pay for.
Yeah.
That I can play my game on my PS3.
Yep.
I think that might be wishful thinking. I don't think they're going to
do it. I know. It's not going to happen. But it would be awesome if they did it.
Absolutely. But there's also social networking function on the Vita. We got, you know, Twitter, Facebook, and Skype, and Foursquare implementation on there. So that's pretty cool. But I'm really excited for the Vita. I think all in all, I think, you know, Sony's obviously focusing on these big name games, but we can't forget that, you know, the quirky stuff is also there.
Yeah.
And so I think that the Vita is fairly well rounded. I'm pretty excited, and I can't wait for this thing to come out.
Yep.
We got a trailer for Steel Battalion Heavy Armor on Xbox 360, and this was announced at TGS, I believe, last year, and people thought, like, how are you going to play Steel Battalion with Kinect? You go from 80 million buttons to no buttons, how does that work? It's because you still use a controller.
Yeah, well, they should have said that a long time ago.
Right, you know? So people aren't like, what the fuck? So you still use a controller to move and shoot and aim and all this stuff, but then you use gestures, which seems pretty neat. The kid in me is like, I can use gestures to look through my, like, my scope and stuff. That's, or like, man a machine gun, turbo, I do spin around in my seat. Like, that's so fucking cool. I know a lot of people go, like, fuck that, I don't want to move. But I think it might be fun. I have an interest in it.
Plus, the gestures in this will probably be, like, less effort than trying to use one of the controllers for the original game.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And, of course, there's actually specifically mentioned gestures for high fives.
Nice. Yes.
That's a real thing. I can't wait. So we got the trailer up on the site if you guys want to check that. It's very World War II inspired, but looks pretty good. We do have some new DLC for Infamous 2. It's called Festival of Blood. And it takes place over the course of one night, and you have to kill vampires. And I guess that's the go-to DLC now, is Inject the Undead.
Sucker Punch with zombies. Zombies are played out.
It's vampires. Do they sparkle? I don't know.
I'm waiting for werewolves to be in games everywhere now.
Right?
But what's interesting is that you don't need to own the game to download this and play.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So. Even though you should, because the game's pretty good.
Yeah, you get new missions, characters, and enemies, and so that's pretty cool. It's pretty interesting that this is a standalone DLC that you don't need the game to play. Yep. I think that's kind of cool. I still haven't played Infamous 2.
Me neither.
We got Skyward Sword is coming out November 18th in Europe and November 20th here in North America. So we got a solid release date on that, and that is awesome.
I'm
so excited.
And you know what? I haven't really been paying attention to too much media to this. And so it's just going to be a surprise for me. That's been pretty much my MO lately, which is kind of conflicts with running a video game site, but mm-hmm. I try to shy away from watching too many trailers and stuff for games because I don't know, to me, like, I don't, the plot being spoiled isn't a big deal, but like, I think the gameplay being spoiled, there was a time where I gobbled up every piece of media to a game before I played it, and I felt like I already knew too much, and nothing was really new to me.
Let me tell you, with this game, even if you've been following everything, they have not shown a lot at all.
Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear, but
because I've been following it a good amount, and like they've shown like basically one area of the game that's apparently very early on, and that's it.
That's good because to me, like, I don't know, the gameplay is really more something that shouldn't be spoiled, which is weird because like you want to know how the game plays before you buy it. I don't know, it's very contradictory, but it's Zelda. I'm gonna buy it anyway, so I'm just blackout on that.
I have a question. Do we know if this is going to come with Wii Motion Plus? Because it says it's required to
probably
use it.
Nintendo's. I mean, most games. I think pretty much every game that requires Wii Motion Plus, which are all like
it comes with it, yeah,
have come with it.
Yeah,
and probably, I hope it's bundled with that gold.
Yeah, they showed the gold Wii Remote at E3.
Yeah, but I thought they said that they weren't. Wasn't there something going on about that gold Wii Remote?
I don't know.
Yeah,
they didn't specify on it at all, which is I think
right.
I think if they're smart, they'll bundle it with the game and, as well as sell it separately.
Yeah,
that would be the best move. But this is Nintendo of America. Best moves? What? They don't know.
I know. Too much like right.
Right.
At least the game's coming out.
This is true. but on the subject of Nintendo America and sucking, Europe is getting. The Last Story and Pandora's Tower officially. That is awesome. I'm happy for our European friends, but and I ain't bitter, but it does upset me that Nintendo America is just.
I mean, what do we do? What did we do?
here's the thing, though. Like, it'd be one thing if like they were actually coming out with stuff for the Wii, but they're not. Like, you're not. You have like an almost a year long gap.
Yeah.
That has Kirby and Zelda. Like, that's in a year. Like, that's all you're putting out.
Yep.
Come on,
they're
Nintendo.
Busy releasing all those 3DS games.
Yeah.
Obviously.
It feels like they're building up to something, is what it feels like. But in the meantime, they're just sort of dragging us along.
Well, it better be something good.
I hope so.
They're building up to.
But that's really awesome. But they're also getting a Wii Family Edition console that removes GameCube functionality.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people seem upset about it, and it's like, well,
yeah, whatever.
Don't buy this one if that's, right. it's not the one you want. this is not replacing current Wii models; it's just another option. I don't know if it's cheaper. If it's cheaper, that's great, but
I don't understand how this is the Wii Family Edition, and
because it comes with Wii Party and Wii Sports.
Oh, okay.
So that's the idea.
It comes with games that'll make you buy other controllers. That's how
right. And one controller, right?
Yep.
It comes with, yeah, of course.
Like removing Wi-Fi on the PSP. I'm just sort of left wondering, like, is this really a money saving, like, thing? I guess it's probably more money saving in the Wii than it is with the PSP because Wi-Fi is such a banal little thing. It's it's an antenna. With this, you're removing an entire chipset and all the associated hardware. So it probably is cheaper, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know. Probably should just left it in there. A lot of people probably
Now is it just one GameCube with duct tape around it?
Yeah, probably.
They pulled out one of the GameCubes. Where were you going, Craig? I interrupted you.
I don't know. But I mean, even if they discontinue the original, the original model. Let me put it to you this way. Between the GameCube sold and Wii sold, there are already over 100 million units between those two. Which means if you want to play a GameCube game, there is no shortage of devices.
Right. Go buy a GameCube. I mean, cheaper.
Yeah.
God, they're like $5.
Yeah, right? They're dirt cheap. But they're all, like, honestly, if you want to play GameCube games, you probably already have the machine to do it on. So this This is really
And you know what? I mean, this is being marketed towards families, it seems like. So, really, is mom and dad going to care about it not having that option to play GameCube games?
Probably not. Especially considering you can't even play it. You can't, it's not like you can go to, like, Best Buy and buy a GameCube game on the shelf.
But it'll be like, what's a Game Cub? I don't know.
Right.
I still don't understand. They should have just left it in there. It seems so, I don't know. It seems weird to me.
Yeah.
This is only in Europe, right?
Yeah, there's no word. I think Australia definitely said, nope, not coming here. And I think Nintendo America has no plans either. And, like, that's fine, because this seems really weird and not that great.
Oh. Nintendo of Europe has to do something with all that extra money they're making from all those games they're releasing.
I know.
So they're just like, new Wii, whatever.
Chris's news piece here says the original backwards-compatible console will be discontinued soon in favor of the new model.
Oh, so they are.
I had not caught on to that.
Wow.
I'll have to check the sources on that. But
when this was first shown, I saw a bunch of people like, "Oh, that's ugly." I'm like, "It looks exactly like the Wii. What the hell?
What's the difference?"
Yeah. If they discontinue the original model, that's not smart, I don't think. But at the same time, I sort of feel like anyone who really wants the original model probably already has it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm sure they could still find it.
Yeah.
Even after this comes out.
So that's interesting. That seems, I don't know. Because who's really playing game? Do you guys play GameCube games on your Wii?
I do, because I don't have a Wii, so I do. I mean, I'm sorry, because I don't have a GameCube.
Oh, okay.
So I do.
I've used the GameCube functionality probably like once in the past year. That was during like the live stream when I played Four Swords. Like,
right.
I use the GameCube controller ports for a lot of games.
Yeah, I think I think that's what really upset people more than losing the GameCube functionality was losing the ability to use GameCube controllers, because people seem to really like those controllers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, if this is the case, and they're really discontinuing it, not smart. But on the other hand, I think most people who want this already have it, and it's not, probably won't affect too many people. Nintendo UK also revealed several 3DS Virtual Console games are coming out. We got Gargoyle's Quest and Mega Man Dr. Wily's Revenge, as well as Bionic Commando, Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins, and Metroid 2 Return of Samus, all coming out before the end of the year on the Virtual Console in Europe.
Nice.
And which hopefully means they're coming out here as well, because those are all good games, and hopefully people can stop bitching about the eShop, because...
I didn't know there was a Game Boy version of Bionic Commando.
There was a Game Boy Color version.
Okay. I didn't know that either. I guess I didn't know there was a Game Boy anything version of Bionic Commando.
Let's see. We also have Black Knight Sword coming to Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network. It's another Grasshopper Manufacture game. It's a side-scrolling action game with a pretty interesting presentation style.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all we know. They're doing a bunch of stuff right now. They also have, like, a shooter that they're co-developing.
Good for them.
Shoot 'em up.
Are they really? I didn't hear about this.
I'm pretty sure I saw it on their Twitter feed yesterday.
Okay. To look into that, because that's pretty cool. We have some Silent Hill stuff coming out, including Downpour. Which I don't really think... Was there really anything new, or was it just really just like a playable demo?
Yeah, I think it was just a demo.
Like, I don't think any real, like, new news came out for that.
Yeah.
But, as Peter points out in the piece, before you get excited, remember that it comes with an original Korn song, so... and then there's Silent Hill Book of Memories...
Mm-hmm.
Which sort of eschews basically a lot of Silent Hill mainstays and is completely different. Sort of like a dungeon crawler kind of game, overhead view.
Multiplayer.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. But that's...
I'm interested, though. It's totally something different. And I know it's not going to be scary and creepy, you know what I'm saying? Like, or it might be, but like the other Silent Hills. But it's about time that... franchise did a little something different. Like, I know last week you guys were talking about Shattered Memories, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I liked that game. It was different. you know what I'm saying, than all the other Silent Hill. So I'm interested. I'll give it a go.
Well, I think with Shattered Memories, it still stuck to a lot of conventions.
This one is very different.
But I mean, on the one hand, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay mm-hmm. with using a brand to try out different kinds of gameplay.
Yeah.
Within that brand. So I'm okay with that. We'll see how it comes out. But that comes out for Vita next year. Mm-hmm. And then we also have the Silent Hill Collection,
mm-hmm.
which has two games.
Yeah.
So it really isn't a collection. Games.
That's so weird. It should have all the games. I'm wondering why they're doing this. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, ideally, it should have 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 4 if they can put it on there. But, you mm-hmm. know, maybe if they can fit the room, but... yeah, I don't know why they don't have 1, 2, 3, just 2 and 3 on this. They do have some upscale resolution and new texture work and new dialogue as well.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
But yeah, this is scarcely.
I mean, at least they're the best two.
There is that, but.
Okay. Oh, Konami's doing the same thing with the Metal Gear Solid collection,
yeah.
where they don't have the first game.
I'm so confused with that collection. I don't get it. Okay, so what are we getting here with that?
Which one?
We're getting two.
Metal Gear Solid.
We're getting 2 and 3 and Peace Walker.
Okay, so it doesn't have one.
No. Okay. And 3 has the two MSX games on it.
Yeah.
Metal Gear 1 and 2.
Okay.
So I mean, there's still pretty. There's way more value in that. There's more games than that, and there isn't. There's two games here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like that's 5 games on the Metal Gear Solid one.
I mean, the only reason I can assume is that they think the games are too ugly, since they're PS1 games. They're, like, too ugly to put on the disc. I can't think of any other reason why they wouldn't want
to
do this.
They're probably not as easy to update with the new textures and stuff.
Are they doing new textures for these games?
Well, that's, yeah, for Silent Hill, yeah.
This one says, yeah.
No.
But, I mean, even still, I mean, just bump the resolution. It'll be fine, you know, for a PS1 game. I think if people understand it's a PS1 game, then it's a PS1 game. What are you going to do?
You know, kind of think of it, like, House of the Dead Collection didn't have the first game on it either.
Yeah, it had 2 and 3 as well. Yeah, that's weird.
Why do they not like their first games? What's wrong with companies?
That's different. But Downpour is coming out October 25th, which seems really soon. I feel like we don't really know.
I know.
It was like really, it was like announced, like Downpour is coming out, and then like now it's coming out. So
yeah.
So, but no other release dates were given.
It was announced like 2 E3s ago.
Was it really?
Yeah.
It was announced 2 E3s ago, but they still really haven't talked about, you know, the game that much. I don't know. I feel like I don't know anything, and I'm interested in Downpour, but I really don't know anything about it.
Something about a prisoner in the town, and that's all I know.
Yeah. And there's rain and probably some woods.
Yeah.
So that's about it. Finally, we have a game coming out for PSN called Sideway, New York. Mm-hmm. And did you guys see this trailer?
I did.
I didn't get a chance to see it.
This game looks fucking awesome.
Uh-huh.
Like, you play as, like, this kid. I think he's been transformed into graffiti. I don't really understand it. Because uh-huh. not a lot... I mean, really, the only thing that's come out for this game is this trailer. Like, even, like, you go to the developer's website, it says, more info coming soon. It's like, your game comes out October 11th. How about more info now, please? But, basically, I think he's been transformed into graffiti. And so, like, your environment are, like, is made up of, like, walls in, like, New York. And, like... You can also go on, like, the rooftops, and, like, it you have to see the trailer. It's very difficult to describe.
You platform around a cube, but every surface of the cube is a 2D platformer. So,
right,
like, you go from, like, one side of the building to the roof, it, like, switches perspective, so it's 2D again, and you're platform... Oh, God. That transitional part sort of looks like it'll make me sick, though.
It could, but there seems to be some pretty interesting... Like, it seems to be that there could be some interesting puzzles in that.
I think it looks really good.
And the music's great, the art style's great. So that's going to be $10, PSN, October 11th. That looks really awesome.
Nice.
That's about it for...
Oh, I see it. Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah. But that's about it for news. All that news is on the site. There's a lot of stuff. Seth also posted, like, a three-page article with, like... all these trailers from Gamescom. So if you want to get your trailer on, hit up the site. I mean, he did a lot of work on that, and that took
a lot longer than I was like expecting.
How did you I'm asking this about my own site. How did you do the multiple page thing?
I just created like unlinked pages that, like, aren't linked to, like, the main site, and then I posted them and then, like, edited in the links for them afterwards.
Oh, okay. That's what I figured you did. Because, like, but, like, you had, did you, like, code that table yourself?
Yes.
Okay. That's pretty interesting. We'll have to...
I'm horrible at HTML, but, like, Google is awesome, so I was like, how the hell do I do this?
And, like, yeah, that really worked, and we'll use that going forward if we want to, if we ever need to again. That's really awesome. That was really MacGyver of you.
But no, like, I did that for, like, personal reasons, because I'm, like, sick of, like, going to websites and, like, not being able to find everything and having to watch ads before, like, basically ads to watch.
That's generally why with a lot of these things, like, this one was a little broken up because there was so much fragmented news, and I don't think there's enough news for any one platform to do what we did for E3. So that's why our news was broken up for Gamescom. But you're right. I mean, that's why we often compile news into, like, one or two stories, because it's a lot easier for our audience to read. Fuck page clicks, man. Like, it's just, you know, it's just a lot easier for everyone else.
So I was having trouble with that. I figured, like, other people were having trouble finding a bunch of stuff I would have overlooked. But, like, I was, like, just even going through, like, the developer's, like, YouTube channel or the publisher's YouTube channels and such. And, like, I didn't even see this anywhere. What the hell?
Yeah.
And I don't know how, like, sites like IGN and GameSpot, like, even on their YouTube channels, they have, like, ads before these trailers. Like, this is 100% unoriginal content for them. How are they placing ads on these?
Yeah.
Well, technically, they place ads on, like, on the site, and that's full of, like, I mean, what's the difference between them putting, like, having ads on their site and, like, on the page that has that trailer?
I don't know. I mean, I thought YouTube had rules against that.
They sort of turn a blind eye after a while.
That's kind of bullshit.
Yup.
I mean, because, like, they did zero work to get this video on there. All they did was, like, re-upload it to YouTube.
Yeah.
So, I don't know either. It's not original content or anything. I don't know.
But, anyway, if you want to catch up on some Gamescom stuff, check out the site. I think it's very convenient. You know, it's, we didn't really spread it out into too many different stories, and we got that one trailer roundup, and... you know, Chris and Seth did a fantastic job, and Peter has his first piece with Silent Hill. Steph didn't do anything, but we still love her. I got a couple things in there as well, so I think it's pretty convenient. But that we don't really have a topic this episode. We're just going to talk about Gamescom there. I was really impressed this year. I was really impressed with what came out of there.
Yeah.
I don't feel like there's really anything like super new, you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like there was, like, any, like, oh my god, like, you know, huge surprises or anything, but I was really satisfied with the trailers and the little tidbits of news that came out of Gamescom. That was a pretty good show this year. And I hope that picks up. I hope that picks up for Germany. Probably does a lot for, like, their economy.
Probably. Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's why Los Angeles, like, actually tried to get E3 back down there, was because they were losing a bunch of revenue that they were getting yearly otherwise.
Yeah. So, good for them.
Did you see the Asura's Wrath trailer?
I have not yet. No.
Oh god! It's good. Have you seen previous trailers? If you think like previous trailers were over the top, this shit is just like getting more and more insane. Basically, there's a fight on the moon, and then, like, a sword that extends all the way from the moon to the Earth while piercing some dude.
That's fantastic.
Yes, I. It's. Some of the it's like beyond Dragon Ball Z levels of crazy.
I am definitely interested. I'll have to check that trailer out.
You definitely should.
We asked the audience on Facebook.com/TVandLust, what they were interested in that came out of Gamescom. What impressed them the most? Jordan said that he loved the new Wi-Fi less PSP. He thinks it's a good idea. Props to Sony. I disagree.
I'm going to say, I think that might be, like, a major point of a lot of games of the PSP. I mean, I guess if you're not interested in any of, like...
Right, I think it's going to come down to each individual. If you go, like, well, I don't care about multiplayer or downloading content or doing over-the-air firmware updates, so that's fine by me. If that's how you feel, that's how you feel.
I'm sure a lot of people don't. Like Steph said, I have no interest in, like, the media capabilities of a lot of handhelds.
Right.
I don't use my 3DS for, like, me listening to music or anything. So,
yeah. Right. So, hey, that's cool. Robert was impressed with WWE 12 and the new Zelda, which is, that's a pretty wide gap between those two games there. That's pretty cool. That's some diverse chase there. Matt said it's between Street Fighter Cross Tekken and Lollipop Chainsaw for him. You can't pick one. Some action-packed Japanese games for Matt. Jordan says what impressed him most is how North America is a place that doesn't get shit. New PSP, new Wii, and the Wii RPGs.
Not getting any of those.
Honestly, the new hardware.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
But I mean, like I said before, like if there's an audience for this stuff, if people are interested in that stuff, then I guess technically it is a loss. There are, like, having a new PSP model that even if I think it's not that great out there, if other people think it's great, then that's no skin off my nose. So I guess that is unfortunate if people are interested in it. But
right,
it's really the Wii RPGs I think that sucks.
Uh-huh.
I know.
But it's because there's nothing else. There's nothing else.
There is nothing else. Yeah.
Zelda and there's Kirby.
Lee says Gears of War 3. Josh says the PSP with no Wi-Fi at $99 made him want to buy one until he saw it was for Europe only. But he says Revelations is looking really good. I assume he means Resident Evil. And
yeah, they showed off the like new mountainy snow area and such.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did have some new.
So now there. People can't be like, "Oh, it's all on a boat anymore."
And I'm on a boat. he likes the ideas for Steel Battalion on Kinect. And finally, John says that Ashura's Wrath is giving off a Dragon Ball Z feel.
I'm not the only one.
Nope, you're not. Because he can't help to get excited about it. He loves the over-the-top action game. So, thanks for the input, everyone. That was, really appreciate it. That gives us nice filler content for the show.
Yeah.
And it makes our audience feel important.
They are important.
They
Craig.
Are important. I do love our audience. They're very positive people. I like that. I guess we can do listener questions now. And I am looking for this. We have posted too many news stories to the Facebook page, and I don't know where it is. I'm so lost. Where are our questions?
It's like two down from the.
Yeah, I see it now.
Okay.
I scroll past it. So, again, if you want to, just like getting in on the topic for the episode, if you want to ask us questions, that's facebook.com/TVNLust. Jordan asks, if given the choice of only one, would you choose a 3DS or the Vita?
I would have to go with the 3DS just because I'm a Nintendo whore, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's where it is for me, but it's a hard choice. I think it's even hard because the Vita's just not out yet, so
right.
It's tough to say. But I'm way more impressed with Vita. A 3D. Look at this. All 3DS.
Like, I couldn't pass up on, like, new Marios or new Zeldas or...
Absolutely. That's it. Yeah. I mean, that's just where it comes down to is, like, Nintendo makes the games that I truly care about. And even though I'm sure the Vita's going to have great games, then it's not Mario. It's not Zelda. I'm sorry.
I mean, yeah. There's still plenty of franchises I wouldn't want to pass up on the Vita, but still.
Yeah. So... Matt asks, any favorite memories of 100% completing a game? I haven't 100%ed too many games.
I've 100%ed too many of games. I guess getting all the achievements in the first Portal, I felt very satisfied after doing that. Like all the little challenge rooms and such where you can only take so many certain steps, you have to beat the levels in a certain amount of time. I did all that crap. And
that's pretty good.
Yeah, that is. I can't remember the last game I 100%ed. It was probably when I was like 13 or something. I don't know. I don't have the patience for it anymore. But as far as like achievement points go, like 100%, the one that like I'm really happy about is Luminous Live. Like I love that series, and that game for some reason sucked on the 360 just because of the D-pad. Like, I was using the D-pad to do it, and it was so frustrating, but I got all the achievements in it, so...
What game was this?
Luminous Live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, the D-pad, boo. I don't have any positive memories, 100%. They're all negative, but I don't really have... Like, I don't really have any memories. Like, if I 100%, I 100% it. You know?
Did you get all the heart pieces in the original Zelda?
I don't remember. I do that in a lot of Zelda. Like, I've 100%ed, like, Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask.
Mm-hmm.
Wind Waker, I don't think I quite got there because of those fucking, like what is it, like, photographs or statues, whatever the fuck they were.
Oh, yeah. I I did that, like, I did a first run through on that, get all the pictures on the first playthrough. That was hard.
Yeah.
I had to use a guide for that one.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, I couldn't do that. I think that's the only thing that really held me up from doing Wind Waker 100%. And that was bullshit fluff anyway, so maybe I'm not going to count that.
It's pretty fun getting them all. I don't know.
I think it's pretty fun getting most of them. And then I think when it gets to the point of, like, tedium and frustration, that's why I don't 100% a lot of games. Like, there comes a point where, like, it stops being fun and it becomes tedious and irritating. And
I'll agree with that. And I still have to do it anyway, though.
Yeah.
And that defeats the whole purpose of me playing games.
Exactly. So that's why I don't 100% a lot of games. Because to me, like, there's no sense of pride and achievement in torturing myself. Like, that's not what I'm out to do.
I do it. I torture myself. I just get compelled. I get compelled and I can't stop until it's, like, done. I'm actually proud of myself, though. I remembered where all the heart pieces were in Ocarina of Time when I just played through on 3DS.
Oh, nice. Nice. What console out of the PS3 and 360 has the best exclusives? Asks Lee.
I'd say PS3. And that's just because I'm a little biased.
Is it the best exclusives or the best exclusive?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, he does write the singular exclusive.
Yeah, he did say that.
It's tough to say because the best exclusive is going to be very, personal. I mean, even whether it's exclusive or exclusives, that's going to be very personal to the particular person. But I think picking one exclusive, I don't know if I could do that and say which one is better. Because, like, I could say, like, oh, the 360 because I love Fable and I love Alan Wake. But, like, on the other hand, I love Yakuza and 3D Dokken Heroes, so...
Right.
And that's why I think it's a toss-up. Like, I think a lot of people go, oh, yeah, PS3, but, like, a lot of the exclusives that people talk up on the PS3 they're okay games, don't get me wrong, but, like, God of War doesn't get me excited, you know, Resistance doesn't get me excited, you know, Infamous, Little Big Planet, these games don't get me excited, so, for me, like, that's not what's gonna, it's really the other stuff that, like I said, Yakuza and 3D Dot Game, the games that really people don't really think about as exclusives, those are the ones that really get me excited. So
I mean, I'll answer PS3 just because personally I love Uncharted. I think it's it's my favorite game of this generation, so I'm gonna say PS3 just because for me personally I think that's an amazing franchise or exclusive. It's hard to say when you say exclusives because I like Gears of War, you know, I like Alan Wake, all those that you said, so it's hard to compare, but I mean, I will say Uncharted 3 tops them all, so...
The PS3 definitely has a lot of exclusives. They really do. Probably more than the 360, which is why I think a lot of people sort of... There's been this movement lately where, like, oh, the PS3's better because there's these better exclusives, but, like, at the end of the day, the 360 still has exclusives, particularly in the Xbox Live Arcade Arena, where they have a ton there.
I know.
They're really great.
See, it's even harder if you add that in there.
Right. So I think both consoles definitely have their merits. At the end of the day, I need a 360 to play Gears of War and Fable. So it doesn't matter if it has less exclusives.
Right.
It still has exclusives that I care about. So it doesn't really matter how many there are.
Right.
So I like them both. I can't really answer that question. I do appreciate them both for what they offer me.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to follow Steph and go PS3. Just for Metal Gear and Uncharted.
Yeah, Metal Gear too. And plus, you know, for me, I only buy, and I think you too, Craig, I only buy the exclusive games on the PlayStation 3.
There are some I've done. There's some multi-platform games I've done.
Okay.
Based on price or like what they, you know, extra content or whatever. So there are some, but generally speaking, I only do the exclusives because that means less mandatory installs and patches and all other shit I have to put up with. Bob asks, what's our favorite gaming generation? Personally, it's the sixth generation for him, which I think that was last gen, wasn't it? Like, this is the seventh.
Oh, is it?
Probably. Okay. I don't know.
But for me, I would have to say this generation. I would have to say the seventh.
Because
there's, you know what? I mean, there are certain aspects of this generation that I complain about, and I don't think that they're good things, and I think that they can harm the future. But the truth is, this fucking generation, there's everything. There's literally... Yeah. Anything you can ask for. There's an overwhelming amount of, like, shooters, but there are also a ton of RPGs on the handhelds, if that's where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think handhelds finally came into their own on this one. Like, they're true, real competitors with the consoles in terms of features and libraries. Downloadable games. I mean, indie developers are really sort of, like... I mean, they're really prominent now. with a lot of the great stuff that they do. So it's mind-blowing how much content and how good that content is this generation. So
right.
For me, hands down, this generation.
I agree. And I think that might, I don't know, I might be a little different because I'm saying this generation because I'm just old enough now to buy all this shit that I want, you know?
There's that too. There is that too.
Right, you know, so it does play a role. But I would also say Super Nintendo. I don't know what number that is, but I really enjoyed that generation. The Super Nintendo and the Genesis. I like that.
That was a good generation. There was a lot of stuff going on then, too.
And all the drama going on between the both of them. Yeah.
Nah, that was definitely a good gen. What about you, Seth? What say you?
I don't know. I don't think I can say this gen because sort of, like, the newness of video games has worn off for me. So, I don't know. It's like on the NES, I was like, wow, this is awesome. And Super Nintendo,
there
like,
is that, too.
Awesome.
There's less sense of discovery now in some weird, like, esoteric sense, intangible sense, yeah.
Still, like, lots of great games, and there's, like, tons of them, like you said, but I don't know, there's, like, just something that's worn off about the magicalness of gaming to me.
There
so.
Is that, well, because we have, like, a 24-hour news cycle with, like, 87 different blogs covering it.
It's,
you know, yeah, I mean, once upon a time, like, a game came out, you're like, holy shit, when did this come out? But now it's like, you know about it, like, 3 months out, like, 3 years out, sorry. You know about it already. Because there's like a teaser of a teaser, and then a teaser site opens up, and you get the 3 second long trailer, maybe some screenshots, and then, you know, whatever.
I'm going to go the Super Nintendo Sega Genesis gen.
What gen is that? Is that like the third gen?
Let's see, like the Atari stuff was first, I think, so yeah, third.
Yeah, third.
I'm curious about this.
I think that, I'm pretty sure there's like a Wikipedia.
That's actually the fourth
video gen. Game generation.
Oh wow, is it the fourth?
Yeah, it's fourth gen.
What's the first?
Let's see here. Because it's probably the first generation is probably like fucking like,
like all those like just built-in games.
Yeah, that's probably like the Odyssey mm-hmm. shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah. Pong clones and stuff like that.
Yeah, Magnavox Odyssey.
And second gen is like the Atari, It'll, like ColecoVision and stuff.
Once you could start putting games in, I guess that was the second gen.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I always get that confused. Andrew asks, favorite male and female video game character? His are John Marston from Red Dead and Liara from Mass Effect. Maybe because I've just been playing a lot of Yakuza, but I'm going to go with Kazuma Kiryu. As a dude.
Nice.
That guy is a fucking badass. He's the biggest badass in modern gaming, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Female, I don't know. Because, honestly, the females always feel... Well, most video game characters are one-dimensional. Almost all of them are. But the females feel like even more one-dimensional because it's like either they're just tits and ass.
Right.
Or they try too hard to be like, oh, well, she's not just tits and ass. She's really strong, too. So she has tits and ass, and she's strong. I'm like, that's just, like, you're trying too hard, dude. Like, that's just
right.
flat as the tits and ass. So it's really hard for me to identify with female video game characters because they're all just so bland.
Right.
The dudes are, too, don't get me wrong. But I think that they're even worse with the girls. Nobody knows how to handle chicks.
How about, like, Jade from Beyond Good and Evil?
See, that's what I was going
to
say.
You know what?
But
she's probably the you know what? She's probably the closest to a more complex, interesting character.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with her gender.
Right.
They weren't really playing at that. So, yeah, Jade's a good one. I like that.
Yep. I'd say Jade and... I was going to say Link, but I didn't know what category to put him in, male or female.
What?
So, I'll say Nathan Drake. Because I love him, so...
God, he's sexy.
Isn't he? Oh, my God.
I mean, I can't, like...
I'm so upset that they were going to put Marky Mark as, like, Nathan Drake. That's just ridiculous, but whatever. Yeah.
I think that fell through, though, so...
I know.
I'm going to... For... Let's see, male... Well, you didn't say human, right? Can I go Earthworm Jim?
Yeah, I think that works.
Yes.
I'll give it a pass.
Thanks. Chicks. Yeah, I don't know. There's got to be somebody, right? I mean, really, I mean, somebody should do some research on this. And like you said, Craig, like what like video game females aren't just like TNA or the exact opposite.
Well, I mean, you have like Alex from like Half-Life. Like she's a good one. I mean, she's pretty much the go-to example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For you know, a female character done right. But, I mean, there's just so few and far between. But even, like, the dudes are so few and far between, too.
Mm-hmm. But, like, let's go shoot studs.
Yeah. Look at all that juice!
How about Chell from Portal? She doesn't really do anything.
Oh, right.
Tyler asks, what genre of game do you enjoy the most? And I would probably have to say the platformer.
Yeah, I'm going with platformer.
I'm going to go with adventure.
Nice. Now, adventure, do you mean point and click? Or do you mean like action adventure like Zelda?
Yes, action adventure.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like too. Like, that's really, I like platformers, action adventure games, and like RPGs. Like that's where my...
Are there even genres anymore? Because it just seems
they
like...
They all bleed into each other. It's really hard to define games anymore. Like, we had... I think it was the last episode, someone asked, like, how do you define an RPG? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like action platformer RPGs. I mean, like, really, like, the new Castlevania games have, like, basically all the RPG elements.
Yeah,
you level up, you grind, you equip stuff. Earn money to buy stuff. I don't know. It's like weird, but they're like still not RPGs to me.
And, nah, me neither. And they're platformers, but I don't really think of them too much as platformers. And then they have action and they have adventure. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the Castlevania games really do appeal to me. I do like those. James asks, what are your views on the downsides of collecting? Cost of time plus space, games possibly going unused, and the arguments for giving it up?
I guess my main downside is my money goes bye-bye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's really... it's a cost. But, I mean, most hobbies are going to cost you money. They're probably going to cost you time. Mm-hmm. Not all hobbies take up space, but a lot do.
Yeah.
So it's really not that different from most hobbies. It's really... It comes down to the person. You know, if the person's going to spend too much, that's the person's fault, because you can get a lot of cheap games.
Yeah.
You know, so...
I don't really look at it like that. I mean...
Nah, me neither. I don't...
Yeah.
I don't really view it as any downsides. It's just like any other hobby.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I just have a significant other who is supportive of that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard to keep up with all the games coming out nowadays, though.
That is, yeah.
I mean, I guess that would be a downside, because, like, sometimes I feel a little overwhelmed just because I want to get to, you know what I'm saying, certain games in timely fashion, but... I don't know. It doesn't really bother me, because I always have something to play.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, you know?
Yeah, a lot of people have been complaining about this summer drought, but, like, I have been playing games all summer long.
Yeah, me too. So. And they're not necessarily, you know... Actually, you know what? It really hasn't been that much of a drought, because new games have been coming out. I mean, I guess the past couple weeks, right? Or maybe the month of July. I don't know. Or this month.
Yeah, I don't know.
The
gamers have some nasty ADD, and like they need, like, if there ain't like 8 games coming out every week, like, oh, it's a drought.
Oh, right. God, and I'm just fearing November.
Oh, dude, next month is going to be harsh.
September
is going to be bad.
And October.
Yeah, yeah. I'm buying 2 versions of Skylanders.
Oh, are you? Which one? 3DS and
I'm getting the 3DS and the 360 one. What's cool is, like, the characters work between the games, so you can level up on the 3DS and come
Shut
back and
up. Play. Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but how does that work on the 3DS? Like, it's going to have the whole platform and everything, too?
Yeah, yeah, you do have the little platform. I don't know how it's going to work, whether there's some sort of wireless, whether it's going to work over the wireless. Maybe the infrared, like, the 3DS does have an infrared port.
You're right.
What's kind of cool is, because the 3DS is portable, they allow you to store 2 characters in your game at one time.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool. And it's actually a slightly different game. It's more focused on platforming.
Shut up. Are you serious?
Yeah, 3D platforming. And then the console versions are focused more on, like, action and exploration.
Wow.
So that's why I'm getting the 2 different versions, because they are different, and they come with different characters, and you can, you know, use your characters between the two. So
that's awesome. I didn't even know that. I'm going to have to look into that
some more. Fucking psyched out of my mind.
Yeah, I'm excited for that game.
It's really not even that expensive. I was expecting it to be, like...
What is it, like $69, right?
Yeah, it's like $70 or something like that. Yeah. It's really not, it's not expensive. So I'll be getting them both, and I'm psyched out of my mind for that. Mm-hmm. But yep,
I have no idea what video game you're talking about.
S- Skylanders, Spyro's Adventure?
Spyro.
Spyro.
He's coming back, man.
Spyro.
And it has, like, physical toys. Like, you don't buy DLC packs, you buy toys.
Dude, I saw something for this, like, a long-ass time ago.
Oh, man, this game's going to be so awesome. Like, I'm giddy with anticipation for
Spyro. Yeah, it's going to be pretty sweet.
You get like you store the stats like in the toys too or something.
Yeah,
right?
So you can take them over to a friend's house and do competitive or cooperative, like multiplayer, like with your toy. Like that's I think it's phenomenal. Like and the toys they reportedly cost less than $10 a piece, which is, I mean, I don't know what that comes out to because they don't say the exact price point.
Yeah.
I was hoping they'd be less than that. I was hoping maybe $10 for two, but that's like the perfect deal. That's ingenious. That's like insidious DLC, because I'm going to buy all these fucking toys.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I wonder how it's going to do that. What do you think?
I really don't know, because kids today really don't play with a lot of toys.
Yeah, they don't play with toys.
I think there's probably going to... I think...
do kids not play with toys?
They play with toys a lot less than
we did. This is blowing my mind.
Yeah, they play with toys a lot less than we did.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What do they do? Internet?
Computer.
Pretty much, like, iPods and their
computer games, yeah. iPods, cell phones. Yeah.
And be real, Seth. If you were, like, 10, you could have an iPod Touch, you would have an iPod Touch. You know it.
I don't know, dude. Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough call, I know. But, anyway, I don't view too many downsides to collecting. It's like any other hobby. Yeah, it takes up some resources, whatever they might be, but I love it.
Yep.
Cody asks, would you rather only play non-imported games, so I guess domestic games, or only imported games? And I guess if I had a choice, I would go with domestic.
Yeah.
If I could only pick one.
Me yes. too. I want to be able to understand what I'm playing, you know? Yeah.
But
I don't see the benefit to only imports.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when we say import, we think of Japan, but there is, like, Europe
You're
and
right.
Australasia,
You're
too,
right.
so.
You're right.
John asks, how often do you guys actually play handheld systems outside of your house? Says the portability is still nice, carrying it from room to room and having the intimacy of the system right in your hands, but he says he doesn't really bring them out on the bus or places like that. And I think that is true for a lot of people. I don't either. I do play it at work, so yes, I do play it often outside of my house.
Yeah, I take before I got my 3DS, it was my DS. I take it to work, and I play it when I have a chance, and I'll stuff it back in my bag. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm really bad with that. And even when we go out, but now that I have my 3DS, it's like I'm constantly taking it because I'm looking for street passes. I mean, I know it's not playing it, but I'll play it like if my husband's driving and, you know, I want to play something real quick while we're on our way to wherever it is, I'll take it with me. So I'm always taking it out.
Yeah, I never play outside of the house. I can't focus on more than one thing at a time anyway, so, like, if something else is going on while I'm out, there's no way I could play. And I guess if I'm going somewhere and I'm not driving, I guess I'm talking to people. I don't know. I don't really have time to play it out.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that sounds about right. Adam asks, opinions on Daft Punk.
Are they one of those bandy things?
Yeah, they're a music group.
Like, I know I've heard their music.
Like electronic music. I'm sure everybody has.
Because I've seen Tron 2.
Right. Yeah.
and I'm sure several other movies. I don't know any of their songs, though.
Right. I mean, I like Daft Punk. What I've heard of Daft Punk, but I don't own any of their albums, and I haven't really, like, listened to much of their music on my own time, so.
Mm-hmm.
Take that as you will. Jordan asks, would you buy a UK Wii just for Operation Rainfall games? I probably will when I get one for around 60. I will probably when I can get one for around $60 Canadian ship. Just soft mod your Wii, dude. Super easy.
Soft yep. mod.
I was considering it. I was going to do it, but now that you told me that, I'm going that route. So.
Expensive. Look into it. It's super easy.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, Joystick has an article by, who wrote that? What's his name? It's on tip of my tongue, too. Fuck. He's an awesome dude. I follow him on Twitter. I like him. I forget his name. Anyway. Jason, I think. And, he just wrote an article about how to do it. And he's like, don't pirate games. And he's right. I mean, why can't you... I mean, it's just for... Really, the main benefit is being region free.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you should look at it for. And it's really easy to do. And it's a lot cheaper than importing the Wii.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Angel asks, what do I have to do to get a TV and Less sticker?
Whoa.
You don't even want to know what you have to do. Some messed up stuff that Craig makes you do.
I don't have very many of them. That's why I'm slowly trickling them out. That's why there's been some here and there going out. So
it costs 5 cents to get these printed at like some sticker shop down the street from his house.
Well, my friend's mom, like, she owns a business, and they initially started out doing like sewing and stuff like that, but they moved on to like screen printing and then doing vinyl stickers. So actually, when I get like TV and Less shirts, because that will happen, that seemed to have a positive reaction when I asked about it, enough for me to consider the investment. I'll probably do them through her. But they also do the stickers, and they're mad nice stickers, and they cost a couple bucks to make. They're nice vinyl stickers. So
yeah, I was just had no idea where you got them or anything.
That's where I get them done, and so that's why I've been just slowly doling out the small supply that I have, because they do cost money to make, and I'm not charging anybody for the stickers. They're just little prizes. So you might have your chance in the future. So stay tuned to the podcast and Facebook and Twitter and the site. So there'll be chances. He says, okay, serious question now. I wanted to know what everyone's thoughts are on a few BioWare games. Neverwinter Nights, Baldur's Gate, Dragon Age, Mass Effect. He says, personally, he enjoys them all. But for him, the best BioWare game is Knights of the Old Republic.
I haven't played a single one of those because, like, none of them appeal to me. I, like, look at them and go, there's nothing I want to play there.
Right.
Yeah, BioWare has, they've lost me. Because, like, Neverwinter Nights, Baldur's Gate, I mean, I never really had the computer, like, most of my computers always been very mediocre. I never really worry about PC games, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have played them, and I think they're okay. Like, I like them, but, like, with, like, Mass Effect, Dragon Age, BioWare lost me. I do like Knights of the Old Republic. Mm-hmm. I do like MDK2.
So, who doesn't like MDK2?
That's
like
crazy people, Atsu!
That's what I'm saying. They need to make more action games and less of these RPG things that they're doing.
Yeah, they don't really... Their games really don't appeal to me much anymore. What about you, Steph?
Well, I've never played Neverwinter Nights or Baldur's Gate or Knights of the Old Republic, but Dragon Age 2, played that. That was good until I got stuck and I couldn't beat the boss that I need to beat, so I gave up on that. And Mass Effect, I mean, that's probably my favorite BioWare game because I really enjoyed Mass Effect 2. Not so much 1. One was a little boring, but 2 totally caught my attention. So, yeah, Mass Effect is probably my favorite BioWare game. And that is because, you know what, it changed a lot. Like, it felt more like a shooter, you know what I'm saying? It still had those RPG elements and everything, but I don't know, it was just easier to play compared to the first one.
First one's so clunky in almost regard. And I mean,
I played through it. I enjoyed it. It was all right, but it wasn't fun, you know? And the second one was a lot better.
See, I want to try the second one because everyone says that, and I'm like, But, like, I think they just they lost me with the first one. I just
desire. I think they lost a lot of people with the first one.
I hear a lot of people say that the games are better if you play through with a female Shepherd.
Oh, really? See, my Shepherd was female. I don't know. I only played each of them once, so I'm not sure. Yeah.
Bill asks, have you ever considered having guests on your podcast, like asking people like FinGamer or Gamester81, folks from YouTube, if they would appear on the podcast, or will always just be the TVLS staff?
Isn't that how Steph got started?
You're right. I have considered having guests. I would love to have guests. It's just oftentimes we end up doing these podcasts by the seat of our pants. We didn't have a full roster until late last night. Steph's like, oh, by the way, I can be on. So, like, these things are often down to the wire. Sometimes the times get bumped due to our personal lives. Like, it's not always even, you know, super easy. Like, it's not hard, but it's not, you know, as straightforward to coordinate even with us. So to have someone else in that mix, I think would just make it a little bit more of a pain. But I don't want to close the door on it. I definitely would like to do that in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely a possibility. It's not, you know, a closed policy on that. It's just logistics, really. And then he follows up with, do members of the TV and Less staff get paid? Dollar, dollar bill, y'all.
We do it for fun. For the love of the game.
For the love of the game. No, they do not get paid. And honestly, like, you know, the staff is, it's no big deal. It's not, we don't get paid. But honestly, like, it does, I would love to pay the staff. I think they do a fantastic job, and they put in a lot of effort, and their work is excellent. And they deserve to get reimbursed for that. And people deserve to be paid for their work.
Well, we all came in knowing that money was probably not going to be a thing.
That is true.
We didn't care.
I was very upset about that.
We're doing it for the love of it.
Yeah.
Because I don't even get paid. Like, the ad revenue the site brings in, I'm not even sure whether it pays for the site. If it does, it's pretty much, it pretty much just pays for itself. So, but, yeah, you know, we enjoy it. So.
Yeah.
Zach asks, as a young serious gamer myself, what do you think of this new generation of mostly ignorant young gamers? Oh, Zach, how much time do you have? It displeases me because, yes, I do think that this...
Ignorance, the perfect word.
That's exactly what it is. It's you know, because I don't care that people like different things than me. If anything, if someone likes something different from me and they're good at talking about it, they're just not like, oh, what you like sucks. Because, you know, that comes up all the time. But if they actually want to discuss these things, I actually like that. I would rather talk to someone who likes something different from me and is willing to have that discussion so I can learn to see their viewpoint. Mm-hmm. I actually find that interesting. But that's not where it goes. This generation of gamers, I find, not all of them, obviously, but a lot of them are very aggressive, vitriolic, closed-minded. Oh, that game's on this platform, or it's this genre, or... It has too many bright colors. I can't play it.
They follow perception a lot more than like actual what's a good game. Like, oh, people think this game's good, then this game's cool, you know.
And if it gets below an 80 on Metacritic, God help that game, because they ain't gonna play it.
Yeah.
Oh, that game's for little kids. I'm 14. I can't play that.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, none of that stuff does bother me. Closed-mindedness does bother me. But at the end of the day, if people want to be closed-minded, and if they were in their own bubble about it, fine, have at it, Hoss. Be as closed-minded as you want. The problem is that these sorts of people are the ones that populate message boards and YouTube
and the YouTubes.
And the YouTubes and Twitter. And, like, I vented my frustration about N4G on Twitter the other night because it's just... That's all these are. Like, these closed-minded people are the majority. The people who call themselves hardcore gamers don't know anything about the history of gaming. They don't know... If the game is not a AAA blockbuster, they've never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, that's what's frustrating. They steer the course of the conversation, and that's the frustrating part for me.
Yeah. And it's not just young people. That's the sad thing.
Well, there's... Yeah, that's true, too. And it's just like, everywhere else on the internet, they get so angry about it.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about games, we're talking about playthings.
I know, right?
Playthings, why are you so angry about this? It's cool, man.
Yeah.
Ah, well. But yes, it is frustrating, Zach. That wraps up for questions. I want to thank everyone who submitted the question. Again, if you want to do it, facebook.com/TVUnlist. And now we can talk about games we've been playing lately. Steph, if you want to start us off, it's been a little while for you.
Yeah, I've been spending a lot of time with Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep. I actually beat Terra's story and Ventus, his story. So I only have one more to go. Aqua, I think that's her name. Aqua, I don't know. But I'm playing through that. It's a blast. Having a lot of fun with it. I know I'm like a year late, but whatever. I'm still enjoying it.
I'm still going to be even later. I need to get to this game eventually when I eventually get a PSP.
That's so good.
So awesome. Oh, wow. Like, you know what? I enjoy playing it, but it makes me mad because, like, when I play it, I'm like, damn, I really want Kingdom Hearts 3. You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes me want a PlayStation 3 Kingdom Hearts game, and I don't know when that's going to come around, but for now, Birth by Sleep will hold me over. It's a really fun game. Even though, and it's kind of weird, because the boss battles were really hard. Like, I found myself grinding to level up.
Yeah, I did that sometimes,
beat the bosses, and I was just so frustrated, but for some strange reason, like, I just kept playing, and that's really weird, because usually I would just put it down, and I think that's what happened the first time around. I got to a boss, and I couldn't beat it, so I was just like, whatever, you know, and at that time, there were so many other games coming out, I was just like, I'll just get back around to it, and I'm enjoying it. It's really great, and what else have I been playing? El Shaddai, I started playing that.
Oh,
have
nice.
You guys tried that out?
I did not buy that. Unfortunately, like, I've had to be a little frugal with my purchases.
Right, right.
Because of my trip.
Understandable, understandable. It'll be there, you know.
Right, exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was my point. Like it pained me because I really want that game, and I really want to support Xseed.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, Ignition, I'm sorry.
Ignition, yeah.
I really want to support Ignition, and Shane Bettenhausen has been absolutely, like, I don't know, out there about
right,
this game.
Right.
I really want to support that, but it got the cut.
Yeah, no, it's so gorgeous. Like, it's just, wow. It's such a fun game. Like, I can't even, I don't know, the controls just work so well, and it's just so fluid. It's crazy how good it looks and how fun it is to play. Like, I'm really enjoying it. I don't really understand. I've only played, like, an hour and a half of it. I don't really understand where everything is going. It's kind of weird right now. I don't get it. But I'm sure that'll come around after I play some more of it. But it's a beautiful game. Really enjoying that, too. And, wow, what else am I playing? That's pretty much it, really. Those two. Before El Shaddai came out, I was playing Dirt 3, like, a lot, just because it was just there and just easy to pick up and play.
Mm.
Couple races, and then that was it. But, no, that's pretty much it.
Cool. How about you, Seth, so we don't forget you this time?
Ha, ha. No, I've been playing through Phoenix Wright for the first time ever.
Nice. How do you like it?
Oh my! I love this game so much. I beat the first four cases, which I guess were the GBA cases, and then there's like an extra bonus case. So I'm on the fifth case right now, which I think is the last one. And holy crap! This is like the most ridiculous like courtroom antics. I don't think you could like prove your own dude like innocent and then convict somebody else all within the same trial.
Right.
But I'm like, oh, all right, this is awesome. Anyway. I just love the way, like, Phoenix, like, just sort of, like, blunders his way through a lot of the cases. Like, oh,
yeah.
Well, maybe this, and his facial expressions. I just love the game. Absolutely love it.
Awesome.
Like, even halfway through playing, I'm already on eBay, like, oh, I need the second and third games. Because those two are out of print. Like, the first and fourth game are, like, you could buy them on Amazon. Second and third are out of print for some reason.
There was one of them that I didn't, was it Justice? Which one is Justice for All?
That is
the second or third?
Third.
That one was kind of boring. I didn't really like
it. Maybe
that
it's the second. I don't know.
Yeah, there was one of them that was boring, and I was just like, oh, come on.
There's a boring one? Oh. All right.
Because there's Trials and Tribulations, or maybe it was Trials and I don't know. It was one of them that was in between one and four that just totally was like, come on. It felt like a chore. It wasn't as exciting, but that first one is awesome.
I love the game. What else? I've been, does this count? I've been, like, drawing, a cartoon in Flipnote Studios for a contest that Nintendo's doing for the 25th.
That's sweet.
Yeah, there's a 25th Zelda anniversary thing going on, and they're having a Flipnote contest. So, I've been drawing that, and I forgot how much I hate, like, drawing animation. I draw, like 2 hours, and I have, like, 4 seconds of animation, like, oh, that's fantastic.
That's why I draw, like, shitty stick figures and stuff in Flipnote.
You can't win contests with stick figures, Kurt.
You'd be surprised.
Right?
You losing? No, I don't think that's a surprise. People want to get in on this contest, I should probably tell them. It's Zelda.com/something. No, Zelda.Nintendo.com, and then you'll see, like, a contest thing for it. But, yeah, you win nothing for if you win the contest, by the way. You win comments from Shigeru Miyamoto and Aya Numa and stuff.
Hold on, what do you win?
you win comments from the Zelda creators on your cartoon. They'll comment on it, and that's what you win.
Wow, okay.
So, not that exciting of a prize, but whatever. And that's it. I've just been drawn and playing Phoenix.
Cool. I really have been playing Yakuza 3. I really haven't had time. I've been very busy and a lot on my mind this week. But playing Yakuza 3, making a lot of headway in that. I should probably wrap it up here pretty soon. And I think it's, of the three that I played, it's probably my favorite, I would say. It's a lot less, like, seedy underbelly. Well, I mean, it gets there, but, I mean, it's a lot less seedy underbelly than 1 and 2. It's more about, like, taking care of kids in an orphanage.
Yeah, that's the one with the little girl, right?
Well, little girl, yeah, you have a whole orphanage full of kids.
In the beginning, and something with their mom.
What?
Right?
What?
Is that the third one?
No.
There's a little girl.
Well, yeah, Haruka, she's in all three of them, but she, yeah, you take care of her, but you take care of, like, I don't know.
Something happened to her. Okay, right.
Yeah, something, yeah, so, I mean, that was Yakuza 1.
Okay.
And,
okay.
Yakuza 3, yeah, you have a whole orphanage on Okinawa now.
But doesn't she, hold on, this is the one where in the beginning of the game, she, like, wants you to take her to certain places or something like that, right? Like, you have the option to do that? Like, she asks to go, oh, let's go get an ice cream cone.
If you're staying outside
and
the store,
it depends on the way. I don't know, she has some type of friend and love meter or something like that.
Yeah, it does have that in the third one, yeah.
Okay.
Which is weird because, like, it's Haruka's trust meter, which is, it was not.
Yeah, that's what
two.
It is.
And her whole trust meter is contingent on buying her food.
Right, yeah. She has to go to all these places.
She's an orphan, isn't she?
Right.
Well, you've been taking care of her since, like, the first game, so, I mean, technically, yeah, but...
I've never played any of these. Like, you run an orphan... Is it a front for something?
No, he's... No.
What kind of crime boss is this thing?
He has a... You have to understand he has a heart of gold. He's not afraid of breaking your fucking back, but he has a heart of gold.
Yeah, he's
whatever,
pretty awesome.
Dude.
This guy rules, man. Cosmo's awesome.
And he has a badass tattoo on his back. I mean, that's just awesome.
He got that dragon tattoo, yeah.
Yeah.
But the gameplay is basically, like, it's the same as, like, the other games. You have, like, fetch quests and, like, beat people up quests and all this other stuff. And, you know, but it's all, it's the package that it's wrapped up in is very different because you're taking care of these kids and, like, that's what it's based around. But I like that it's, you know, full 3D, you know. Well, I mean, the first two were full 3D, but, like, you have these fixed camera angles. And a lot of it was, like, overhead, and it was awkward, but this one's more like, I mean, I hate to compare it to GTA, because a lot of people do that, and it's really inaccurate, but it's more like GTA in that sense, where you have this large, you know, continuous city, and, you know, the camera's, like, sort of behind your back, and that works a lot better. These games, you know, Sega did some awesome stuff with 1 and 2 on the PS2, but these games really deserve to be in high def, because they're fucking gorgeous, and the amount of detail is just out of this world, so.
Mm-hmm.
It looks great, and, no, I'm really enjoying it, and I'm looking forward to finishing it.
Nice.
But that's about it. I got Tactics Ogre, Let Us Cling Together, and Final Fantasy IV Heroes of Light in the mail today. So.
Tactics Org is so hard. Or maybe it's just because I'm not good at strategies, but that game is so hard. It's cool, but damn, is it hard?
Yeah.
Let me know how you think that is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you play any other, like, Tactics? Have you played, like, Final Fantasy Tactics, or?
I played the GBA version of that, and I enjoyed it. I didn't play a lot of it. Like, I never beat it, but I enjoyed it. Yeah. That was, like, my first Tactics type of game. And then, like, I don't know if Advanced Wars counts. I mean, does that count? Or is that different?
Well, I mean, it's similar. It's a bit different, but it's similar.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I did play Final Fantasy Tactics. I'm not good at stuff like that because it reminds me of, like, chess, and I don't know how to play chess. I don't know how to play chess.
Yeah, you have to think a couple moves ahead in it.
Yeah. So, yep.
It's actually why I like that. It's, like, more complicated chess almost. I don't know. I get into them. Like, that's a genre I didn't think I'd like. And then I played, like, Fire Emblem or something. I was like, holy crap, this is really good.
Yeah. But yeah, that's about it for me. And, I guess unless you guys have anything you'd like to add, we can wrap up this episode.
None at all.
Nope.
Pretty good episode. Lots of good discussion.
Yeah.
And I hope I offended every European.
All actually, I lied a little in my Gamescom thing, too. It's not every trailer. There was, like, a Black Eyed Peas one or something. I was like, what the hell is this game?
Yeah, we probably don't need that. All right. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening. And until next time, you guys take it easy.
Bye-bye.